Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Learning more about the mid-air collision in D.C. Great show last night, Fire Aid, big fundraiser for fire relief. But first, more pushback around where to put some of the debris from the fires.
EPA officials have been hearing from residents near the Eaton Fire Zone and where they'll be processing the hazardous materials from that fire. And now residents in the Palisade Fire Zone say they're upset, too, and they plan to protest today. John Baird has more in this live report.
I am on PCH just up from the intersection of Topanga Canyon and PCH. Now, they have an area there where trucks are going in, but also if you just drive up here just a little bit across from the beach where the Topanga Ranch Motel used to be, it burned down. This is a big area where they've got all kinds of trucks and materials. This is the site that we understand is going to be where they're going to be processing all these hazardous materials that they're going to haul in. They're going to be going through each of the properties. Think of that. Thousands of burned properties and haul away stuff that's dangerous, hazardous, toxic. And one thing they're focusing on, electric car batteries, even batteries for, electric bikes, things like that. They want to get them out of there. There's potential that they could explode, but also propane tanks and household chemicals. That's what they're going to be doing. I just got off the phone a minute ago with an LA fire captain who tells me they've already started going up to assess. He's not sure exactly where they stand as far as hauling the materials down here for processing, but that's what people are upset about. It's right across the street from the ocean. It's in their neighborhood, in their community, just up the hill around the other side is where I was, up in an area off Coastline Drive the night after the fire started. It was, incredible with winds and everything burning, but there are homes up there that survived. So bottom line is people are upset. They're concerned that they're going to be processing these materials, these hazardous materials, right here in this environment. And they're worried about the potential dangers of that. And these people are scheduled to, have a protest this afternoon at 3 o'clock. They're upset about having the location here.
Something else happening today. This will be later this morning. U.S. Attorney's Office in L.A. filing some court documents related to the Palisades fire. Not a lot of details other than to say it's in connection with what they call a high-profile incident. There's more information coming at 10 this morning.
Big night. Fire Aid L.A. saw a Nirvana reunion with singers like Joan Jett stepping in for Kurt Cobain. Billie Eilish performed with Billy Joe Armstrong and Green Day.
It's a really, really scary time, and it's been so devastating. And L.A. is like my favorite place in the world and my only home. And I've my brother and I grew up here and live here, and it's the greatest place in the world, and I care about it so much, and it's just been so, 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 so devastating what's going on. So, to everyone who is experiencing this, I love you, and I got you, and we will not forget about you.
No Doubt was back with Gwen Stefani. Dr. Dre surprised a crowd with Anderson .Paak and Sheila E. Stevie Nicks was there. Earth, Wind & Fire. List just goes on and on and on. By the way, you can still buy merch and make a donation at fireaidla.org.
Divers are back in the Potomac, part of the recovery of the investigation after the mid-air collision. More than 40 bodies have been recovered so far. Investigators have the cockpit voice recorder, the flight data recorder, the black boxes from the American Airlines plane that collided with the Army helicopter outside of Reagan Airport. They're going over a bunch of different factors, including the actions of the military pilot. Here's CBS's Natalie Brand.
The crew chief on the military helicopter, that Black Hawk, was 29-year-old Ryan O'Hara. He leaves behind a wife and one-year-old son. The Pentagon is among those contributing to this investigation. Yesterday, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said that that Virginia-based aviation battalion will be undergoing a 48-hour pause.
The air traffic control worker managing the helicopter traffic that night, also handling some of the planes taking off and landing. All the 67 aboard the two aircraft were killed. 20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Oseron Law, the injured workers hotline.
So there are reports that one air traffic control worker was managing the helicopters and planes in that crash in D.C., a job normally done by two people. This was during the time of the crash. We talked about it with Dr. Michael McCormick. He teaches air traffic management at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. And he said one air traffic controller handling both planes and helicopters really shouldn't be an issue.
The controller handling both the landing and departing aircraft and the helicopters, I would consider to have a normal workload. And I don't consider the fact that the positions were combined at that time to be a factor in this event. If anything, it would have been an aid to the controller because he is actually in two-way communication with both of the aircraft involved. Therefore, he has first-hand situational awareness of what's going on.
What then could have been the problem? There's a lot of blame that seems to be going towards the helicopter so far. Maybe they were looking at the wrong plane. I was listening to a show yesterday. There were a lot of former ATC guys and pilots calling in saying, you know, you have to be so specific in your language. You don't say, do you see the regional jet? You have to make sure everybody's talking about exactly the same thing. Could this have been some sort of terrible miscommunication?
I think it's way too early to rush to judgment about what happened and to lay blame on any one single organization or person. Absolutely, clear and accurate communication is an important element in air traffic control. And that will be one of the factors that will be heavily investigated in this process.
Let's talk DEI for a second, because this literally came up at the podium of the White House a lot. What are the facts, as you see them, about diversity in air traffic control hiring and changes that may or may have not been made over the last, I don't know, 10 years?
I retired as the vice president of the air traffic organization in the FAA. And one of my responsibilities was hiring air traffic controllers. And one of the things that I believe is that if there is a meritocracy, it is the air traffic control profession. The standards are so high, the training is so difficult, and the process is so long, there is no way anybody who doesn't have the aptitude or the demonstrated ability would ever become an air traffic controller.
We still do have a shortage, right? Is that anywhere closer to getting fixed?
There is a nationwide shortage of air traffic controllers, and the FAA has put a big push on the hiring program. Last year, they hired 2,000 controllers. The year before that, 1,800. This year, they're hiring 2,200, and that's going to continue into the near future. So they are maximizing their hiring in order to bridge that gap, but there's still quite a ways from filling that staffing gap.
That is Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University's Dr. Michael McCormick. Tequila, avocados, and lumber could get more expensive starting tomorrow. We'll tell you why. And no deal yet for the Costco workers. More as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
I was like, are you building something for the Super Bowl? Is that why the lumber's on the list? L.A. and the nation looking forward to the money that's going to come in from hosting the World Cup 2026. So we get it. But Pete Dimitrios says there's concerns that a lot of visitors might not be able to get visas. and come and visit?
The reason goes back to the closure of foreign offices around the world during the two-year COVID pandemic. And despite restaffing and rule easing under the Biden administration, immigration specialist David Beer with the Cato Institute says delays in getting visas could spike fans' plans to come here.
Of course, people try to plan ahead, but when you're dealing with, in some cases, up to 700-day wait times, I mean, it's effectively 2 years, it's just not possible to plan ahead that far in advance for most things.
FIFA, the World Soccer Federation, is convinced the problems will not occur due to agreements signed with the U.S. in granting the World Cup rights. But it remains to be seen what will happen given tougher immigration policies under the Trump administration. I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
25% tariff that the president plans to put on imports from Canada and Mexico as soon as tomorrow could drive up the price of everything from gas to trucks to guacamole. The tariffs would also invite retaliation. The premier of Ontario has already vowed to counterpunch by pulling American alcohol off store shelves in the Canadian province. Canada is California's second largest export market behind Mexico.
American Israeli man, one of three Israeli hostages expected to be released by Hamas tomorrow. Here's Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
65-year-old Keith Siegel, originally from North Carolina, was taken captive with his wife Aviva from Kibbutz Kfar Aza almost 16 months ago. She was freed in November 2023, and since then has campaigned tirelessly for his release. Also slated to be freed Saturday are 54-year-old Ofer Calderon, who was taken with two of his children, who were also freed in that earlier deal, and Yordane Bibas. Hamas claims that Bibas's wife and two young children died in captivity.
His wife released in November 2023 during a short-lived ceasefire prisoner swap between Israel and Hamas.
Strong medication designed to help people manage pain post-surgery has been given the go-ahead. The promising prescription also reduces the risk of addiction. Michael Shaw is a doctor of pharmacy at the Mayo Clinic.
They tried a new approach here by looking at mechanisms by which the drug works that's elsewhere in the body besides in the brain. So it really works on the peripheral nerves, less so than like an opioid that would work centrally in your brain.
The pill could help a variety of other conditions, including chronic nerve pain.
We're going to see this Costco strike. Companies offering more money, up to $30 an hour. Reuters has a memo signed by the CEO that was sent to employees this week, increasing the top scale workers to over $30 in the first year. And then more after that, lower scale getting 50 cents more to $20 an hour. Comes after the Teamsters voted to strike if a new contract wasn't agreed on by yesterday's deadline. No official word of any deal.
If you're fed up with tech companies, you've got company. A new survey finds most teens are too. Here's Art Sanders.
More than 1,000 young people between the ages of 13 and 18 took part in the nationwide research, finding nearly two-thirds of teens say tech companies cannot be trusted to care about their well-being. And 62% doubt that companies will put user safety before profits. And Jim Steyer of Common Sense Media says nearly half of teens have little to no trust that tech companies will make responsible decisions about how they use AI.
And they actually want more AI literacy and insights into how AI works very well for them. But 73% of teenagers in the United States want all AI-generated content to be clearly labeled or watermarked. They want to be able to distinguish what is produced by a machine versus what is actually produced by a human.
Steyer says nearly 4 in 10 teens have used generative AI for schoolwork and have found inaccuracies in AI output. Research, he says, reveals a trust gap between teens and technology companies that can only be overcome if the industry takes immediate action to implement robust safety measures and increase transparency about AI. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
If you live in Long Beach, you might be getting another fee hike soon. City Council considering raising trash pickup fees to comply with the state law that orders a big reduction of organic waste in the landfills. They have until the end of the year to get this done, or it's $10,000 a day in fines. So under the proposal, your bill would go up three times through 2026. Long Beach Post says you can fight it if you get enough signatures. Date has been set for the council to vote maybe by March.
A rare group of orcas never seen off Orange County's coast made an appearance near Newport Beach. A pod of about five, maybe six, spotted yesterday. They were seen about 3 miles from the Newport Harbor entrance. A biology was
or biologist, that is, was that too, was called out, and she told the Orange County Register that she usually can instantly recognize the ones that show up locally and has never seen these ones before. The pod has only been seen a few times since 1993, mostly off the Channel Islands and Monterey Bay, but never this far south. Fire Aid LA in Inglewood last night. Big, big shows at the Forum and the Intuit Dome, and we talked about it with LA Times pop music critic Michael Wood. He was at Intuit Dome, and we asked him what performances stood out.
Jelly Roll doing Seeker was pretty great. I mean, you know, we don't think about Bob Seger enough these days. I was happy to hear Hollywood Nights. It was very good.
I was going to say, you know, you could almost grab this set list and turn it into a very, and this was to the point, this is what they were trying to do, a hopeful Los Angeles-centric kind of thing, which, I mean, they hit it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a little bit easier to do a show based on acts that live in L.A. than it might be to do, I don't know, St. Louis or something. But yeah, I mean, they did a great job sort of assembling a nice cross section, you know, because I'm a reporter, obviously I'm going to gripe. I was a little bit low on country music and Latin music and hip hop, which are certainly a big part of L.A. But that aside, really carried off well, for sure.
Probably didn't hurt that it's Grammys weekend also. A lot of people
Everybody's already in town.
I heard a lot of covers, which, you know, talking about Bob Seger and everything. And I thought that was kind of nice, actually, the different versions of the older songs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a way to kind of connect, you know, especially like if you've got a young act with an older audience. I mean, I will say Intuit, like the audience was older than I had anticipated when I first walked in. But then later on, the singer Gracie Abrams, who's kind of like one of the pop breakouts of the moment. I mean, that was like she get the biggest response that I'd seen all night. So, which I just say to say it was an intergenerational crowd.
Was there anything over the other one where you're like, oh, no, I wish I had time to run over to the Kia Forum and watch that?
Yeah, Stevie Nicks. You know, they were each venue had a big screen, you know, screens that they were showing the performances from the other one. So wherever you were, you got to see them all. But man, Stevie Nicks, who was at the Forum, sounded amazing. Just like the vocals were super strong, super passionate and emotional. I would have liked to have been in the room for that one.
What was the crowd like there inside in terms of, you know, were there people that were, you know, a lot of them impacted by the fires, or was this more like a who's who that happened to score tickets?
I think a little of everything, of course, but I did notice that there were quite a few folks who had first responder like T-shirts on. I mean, obviously the production had, you know, arranged this in some way because the cameras would often go to folks in the audience who were, you know, stood up and, you know, everybody applauded them and everything at multiple points in the show.
So a good night, a lot of money raised. What do we expect in terms of this kind of vibe at the Grammys as well, again, this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, there for as many big super pop star acts that there were, there's not a huge amount of overlap in terms of who performed at Fire Aid and who's going to be performing at the Grammys. Billie Eilish will be at both. I think Lady Gaga, but you know, I have to give them hats off for kind of finding acts to do Fire Aid that weren't necessarily on the Grammys.
That is LA Times pop music critic Michael Wood.